What's that?
What a remarkable story, Mark and Dan. Thanks for letting us hear it. It's powerful, isn't it? The first words in the Bible that God speaks, "Let there be light." In the fullness of time, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. John's Gospel describes Him like this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And then in the book of Revelation, the very end of the Bible, is that great scene. There will be no need for light, for the Lord God will be your light, and the Lamb will be the lamp. I can't help but wonder if in that clearing down south a ways, the light of the world was shining in a little flashlight to run the darkness into its own end. So I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep it on in my bookshelf in my room at Pillar. Thanks for giving this to us. So I do have to acknowledge, I've got some friends apparently, new friends who have been in the Skinner room. There's six or seven of them. I guess they're extremely rowdy. I do not believe that you're there unless I can hear you shout amen. It's only a half a block away, so I'll be listening, friends. I'm calling this... You're awesome. You also put this group to utter shame, so I consider it a challenge now. Let's go, Tabernacle. We've been calling this I've been calling this Christianity and Crisis. Subtitled, "Let the Same Mind Be in You That Was in Christ Jesus." That's the phrase I have been hoping to center our heart, mind, spirit around over the last 2 days and still then this morning and tomorrow. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's the center of the book of Philippians, not by verse number, but by theological conviction. Everything in Philippians hangs on those words. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He's not actually just suggesting that you think like Jesus would think. Yes. Actually, the word mind in this case, is it comes from the word diaphragm. The I don't know a lot about biology and anatomy, but apparently the diaphragm is this thing that mostly involuntarily invites you to breathe. Let the same mind, let the same diaphragm, let the same necessity for life be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And everything in Philippians hangs on it. So I want you to listen with me to some more of the book of Philippians. We're just going to keep layering as we move forward. And again, I'm going to ask you to do what we've done the last several days. I want you to listen carefully. I want you to listen well. I want you to listen. I know the temptation is to read. I do this to my church almost every Sunday. Just listen. The eye will deceive you. It does. Scientists have demonstrated this. If you go online, you can Google this. Google something like entire paragraph of misspelled words. You'll get a paragraph and every word is misspelled and you'll read it perfectly because the eye will tell you what it wants to see. So I want you to listen. It's not, the eye isn't bad, of course, obviously. But I want you to listen. I want you to hear. When the psalmist speaks, he talks about the ear thou hast dug for me. Let's dig out our ears so as to receive the word. We'll look in just a minute. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to think this way of all of you because you hold me in your heart and share in the gospel with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through faith in Christ for the praise and glory of God. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel. For it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. Most of the brothers and sisters, having been encouraged in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I've been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering and my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will result in my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way by my speaking in all boldness, whether in life or death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I live, that means fruitful labor for me. And I don't know which I prefer. I'm hard-pressed between the two. To remain with you is necessary, but it's my desire to depart and to be with Christ. For that's far better. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and continue with you for your joy and progress in faith, that I may share in your boasting all the more in Christ Jesus when I come to see you again. Only live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and only hear about you, I will know that you're standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege of not only believing in him, but of suffering for him as well, even as you now have the same struggle you heard I had, and now here I still have. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of the others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee would bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, My beloved, even as you've always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work among you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, that you may be pure and blameless, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the offering and sacrifice of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, and you also must be glad and rejoice with me. It's my hope to send to you Timothy soon, that I might be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. The others seek after their own ambitions, not those of Christ. But you know Timothy's worth, how like a son with a father he labored with me in the service of the gospel. Therefore, I'm going to send him to you soon as I see how things go with me, even as I trust in the Lord that I also will come to you soon. Still, I think it's necessary that I send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. How he has longed for all of you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was so ill, he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, so that I would not suffer one sorrow after another. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him to you, that you might be cheered by his presence, and I may be made less anxious. Welcome him then in the Lord with joy, and honor such people. For he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to provide the service you could not offer me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's Philippians chapters 1 and 2. Now you're welcome to find it in a Bible. I could see you itching to open your Bibles. Even a few of you found them on your phones. Here's what I want to do. I've been giving you 2 minutes to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. 2 minutes of eternal silence. I'm going to double the time because there's so much there. I want you to take 4 minutes. What is the Spirit of God saying to you? Listen to what Eugene Peterson says. Christians don't simply learn or study or use Scripture. We assimilate it, take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love, cups of cold water, mission into all the world, healing and evangelism and justice in Jesus' name, hands raised and adoration of the Father, feet washed in company with the Son. I want you to metabolize Scripture. I don't want you to just hear it from me. I want you to get it inside. So what is the Spirit saying to you? You've got 4 minutes of silence, and then I'm going to ask you to share with a friend before we shout it out to each other. And my friends in the Skinner room, if one of you wants to run over and share what you're hearing, we'd love that.